Hey!
Hour of truth, people. I have,
saying that great, what's the right word? Anticipation, maybe?
Yes. No, it's up. We're on.
No, I'm talking about the whole hour of truth part.
Well, we hope. We hope.
Assumption and hope and great hope. Yeah, I gotcha.
I have James Usler on Skype. I have Richard Usler Jr. on Skype. I have Philip Walthall on Skype. And I'm Paul Muller. So, what are we going to talk about today, gentlemen?
I don't know, man. It's your show.
Shall we, since we just spent 10 minutes discussing what we're going to talk about, shall we talk about what we were planning on talking about?
It's almost too much fun to harass
you. Yes, it is.
And I should probably feel ashamed of myself for doing it.
Crickets.
However, I do not feel ashamed of myself for doing it.
That's the AR?
I know. So I was listening to y'all's service in South Carolina today. And I heard you guys talking about asking for stuff when you need help instead of just hinting around.
Yeah.
And assuming people can read your mind and read your need or your perceived need.
Yeah, I had a lot of trouble with that myself.
I remember.
Coming up.
Well, you know what happens when you are in that place is you start getting offended at other people for not having read your mind. And you walk around in this constant state of bitterness and resentment and offense. It makes you not a terribly pleasant person to be around.
Yeah. And you adopt an attitude of you're better than them, because clearly you would see this if it was going on. And even when it's pointed out to you that you haven't seen it when it was going on or you didn't care, you loved yourself too much to do anything about it.
Yeah. Well, say to what Brad was saying, and he said, you know, I think I understand what he was trying to say. I don't know that he got the point across too terribly well, and I certainly don't mind calling him out on it here, because I know, as he said, as he at least professed in his service, that he wants to follow the Lord, and if there's correction, he wants to hear it. So, you know, hopefully that is the case. But if you need help, you know, the way to get it isn't really to say, hey, I need help and I need you to do this for me. That's not asking.
No.
Now that's a further continuation of assumption and presumption. And that's certainly not putting yourself in a situation of humility. That's sort of still maintaining your high opinion of your situation and your need. And that it's a priority over everything else that's going on. And that's not how you get things done. And we were talking just before, and I mentioned the point that, you know, if I'm a foot, I don't get to the door just because I'm a foot. If I have to get to the door, it requires the rest of the body to get there. I mean, we are dependent one upon another to accomplish the things that God has given us to do. There's a reason we're not all cookie cutter. There's a reason we don't all have the same skill set, because the Lord needs different people with a different skill set. We're all members of one body, and we are built, at least He has built us to be there for one another, support one another, fill up, you know, provide a role in a process, and all of that stuff is exactly what it's supposed to happen. But if the parts of the body reject the other parts of the body, or aren't listening, or aren't paying attention, then you've got a comatose patient. You just got something that just doesn't work.
Right.
So I was thinking maybe we could talk about how, you know, what's the mindset we need to have to get this stuff dealt with, you know. And I don't want to talk the whole time. I'm going to throw it over to the peanut gallery over there in Georgia. We got Phil and James there. I'm sure they can jump in and chime in a little bit. You guys, what do you have to say about it?
Well, you talk about us all being the members of the body, and I think if we all are in communication with Jesus or the Father, that which is the head of the body, then we all are working together because we're doing as the Father tells us, or as Jesus, you know.
Well, that's the model. I mean, look at our own body, right? You know, my head, let's just call it the brain, sending electrical impulses all around. If something happens in my little pinky finger, you know, it shoots a signal up to my brain, which tells the rest of my body, go grab that pinky finger because it just got slammed in a door. I mean, if the rest of my body's not paying attention, the pinky finger's going to stay stuck in the door. Right?
Absolutely.
I remember I was working on this air gun one time, and it was a cheap import. And it had a defective, what's called an anti-bear trap. And I pulled back on this handle, and the part that's not supposed to slip off, it slipped off, and this handle slammed back and locked shut across my fingers. Now, that was uncomfortable. And it sent a message to the rest of my body to, oh my God, please get this thing off my fingers. And very quickly, I released my fingers from this lever that had slammed down. Now, if that message had not been received and processed and handled, I'd still have a gun attached to my hand.
Or a gun flung into the wall.
Are you walking around with the gun stuck on your fingers?
Can you imagine? What's that there for? Well, I can't get the rest of my body to pay attention long enough to take the doggone thing off.
Sir, can't allow you on the airplane.
Yeah, right? You just see it now. Yeah, this thing beeps every time I go through a metal detector. It's really limited my traveling abilities.
See how my skin has grown around it? My skin is accommodating to this very well.
Ouch, man. Now my hand hurts. I know that that's kind of a stupid thing to think, but that's sort of... You know, I wonder how many Christian fellowships are more like that than they need, than the right way.
Well, you know, Rick, you know my job is.
Yeah.
I mean, we got a load of guys and we work on, and with the tire department, it's different than the service department. The service department has the same thing going on, but the technicians get their own job. With tire department, we share the load, a lot more. I mean, we work on the same, Our goal is to take care of the customers and deliver a great customer service, and we work together as a team. And if we're not communicating with one another, if we don't have that same agenda, if we don't know, if we don't have these meetings and constantly, because I have meetings once a month. The reason why I have a meeting once a month is to put in perspective what our goal is, how we're about to operate, and what our steps personally are to take care of the customers as quickly and as efficiently as possible. And when one of us, just one of us out that team is not doing our part, the rest of the body lacks, and our customer service and our service unto the people is a lot less effective over just one person not doing their part.
And I bet you if you have a guy that comes up to you and says, oh man, I really need some help over here. You know, can you come help me with this problem? Is probably going to work better than a guy who is constantly saying, hey, you know, didn't you go do this thing I needed you to do? I mean, and they hadn't really ever articulated it.
Right.
Probably not going to make the team flow too well. You know, when I squish my fingers in the gun, my hand cried out in great pain saying, please help me. And I sought to then help it as quickly as possible.
Yep.
You know, and when we come to the table and we express a need in humility, then that it's a high probability it's going to get handled. Yep. If we come to the table and express a perceived need in arrogance, you know, it may stay undone for a while.
Yep.
And then there's also a presumptive nature that our need is, of course, supersedes everybody else's needs, so I need it now!
Right. Well, when my fingers got squished, it needed it right now. I mean, like, right now in a hurry. But, you know, there are other things. Yeah, there are other things that may not be quite so pressing. I apologize. I just now remembered I should be in the chat. And, you know, what's kind of jumped off the thing I just saw. So you said, but we can do nothing without him. And the scripture that was the big light bulb moment, or one of the big light bulb moments again for me as I was, when I was down there in South Carolina with you guys, was just how deep without him you can do nothing actually goes. You know, that's sort of that, you know, reference of the foot can't get to the door without the rest of the body, you know. The hand can't open the doorknob without the arm being attached to the arm attached to the body. And there's just so much that I wonder how often we think we're, you know, so very important that everything hinges on us. Well, the truth of the matter is that's not at all the case.
It is true.
So I had this scripture rolling around in my noggin this morning and thought maybe if you would indulge me, we could go take a look at Luke chapter 14, verse 1.
Why don't we do that?
Down through at least verse 11.
Okie dokie.
Are we going to let James read?
I don't know. Can he?
I can.
Well, there you go.
Awesome.
through 11, Rick, or to 11?
Just start reading, and we'll jump in and pause along the way. And I want you guys to jump in and get involved here, because this is, you know, the hour of truth with four people, not one.
And it came to pass. And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him, which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, It is lawful, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace. And he took him, and healed him, and let him go. And answered them, saying, Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again to these things.
Okay, so we have sort of the scene set, right? Let's see. He went to one of the Pharisees to eat bread. And they're watching him, and he's doing his thing. He's about his father's business, right? Go on to verse 7. I don't know if you guys want to talk any more about that part. We've talked, you know, about that in various Bible studies and stuff quite a bit. Is there anything there you guys want to talk about? James, Phil?
Well, no. He knows that, and I'm not James or Phil, but I wasn't sure that there was any sound forthcoming from them, so. he knew that what he was about, everything he was about, and in this particular instance, what he was fixing to do was gonna upset them about what he does on the Sabbath. So he's preemptive in it. He puts it on, right on their radar.
Right. I'm catching the back end of some stuff here in the chat room. Maybe we can address it here in a minute. All right, so we will close that window down and open this one back up. Okay. All right, so go to verse 7. Yeah.
And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying,
okay. Okay, saying unto them. All right. I want you to look at this for a moment, because he puts forth a parable. This is a story that's supposed to get you to think about something bigger than the actual topic. You follow me? It's
supposed to show you a truth.
Yeah, it's going to show you a truth here. And what he's noticing is everybody going up to the important rooms. And this is what he says to them. Go ahead, verse 8.
When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worshipped in the presence of them that sit at the meat with thee.
Read verse 11.
For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted.
Okay. Now, this scripture, it's one that I have to personally remember a lot, because I am a great offender of a person that tends to want to exalt himself. And fortunately, the Lord is good to not let me get away with it. He's been very good to me about breaking that cycle before it gets out of hand, through folks like my dad and my wife and other people, even complete and total strangers that notice I did something that was a dummy, and you know, all I can do is ask forgiveness on, you know, that I offended them or did that. And, you know, from that point on, it's between them and the Lord whether they forgive me or not. But in this thing here, he's trying to make a point that we all have this tendency to want to puff ourselves up and be in the most important place. And that's a result of thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to think.
And what happens is, it's very easy from that presumption to get put down and be made humble, humiliated.
Yeah. And that's not fun. I know when I've been through it, it's not something like, oh boy, I get to do this again. That's really not what I go through at those times. I don't know about you, Phil and James. You guys have any examples of some of this stuff going on in your lives? I'm assuming the bird chirping was you guys. Maybe now that you're talking, you actually muted the mic instead of unmuting the mic. I'm not sure.
We're unmuted.
Well, I mean, if you look at this, I mean, as you're talking about this, but there's many times where I have been humbled because I wasn't humbling myself. And those times aren't very fun, I would have to say. But we have a choice. We can humble ourselves, or we can be humbled. The Lord loves us. Do you know what I'm saying? And it's that place. I mean, when Jesus says, "But without me, you can do nothing." I mean, that's a humbling place. I mean, that's the place where we ought to be. That's the place we ought to wake up and bring ourselves to. Is to that humbling ourselves, because we know anything outside of Him, we can't do anything.
Yeah.
You know, and
that's where we need to start every day to actually be effective for the Lord. Or we can't be effective if we start high-minded.
Right, and not even, you know, I mean, at the beginning of the day, or how many times it takes.
Oh, absolutely. If you realize, that's for forgiveness and humble yourself and move forward.
Amen. Amen. But if we're in that high-minded, this is what this it's talking about right now. If we're in that high-minded place, he's talking about telling them, you go in that high-minded place and go sit in the lower seats.
Yeah.
Because you need to be humbled.
Well, he says start there. You know.
Rick, can I say something?
You most certainly can.
You know, and it's, you know, it says in 10, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. You know, it's, we need to consider ourselves as low. And it's not our, we don't make the decision of whether we are worthy to be higher or should we be in the low. We should feel that we are low. And it's his authority and job and right to say that, not our presumptive assumption that we're better than we are.
Well, it goes back to that scripture, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and what? He shall lift you up.
Yeah, it's about
the guy in the room is putting him in the high room. The guy that is hosting it is putting him in the higher room.
To go sit in that yourself, you yourself feel lifted up by your own pride and abilities.
Yeah. And it's a very easy thing to get caught up in it.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, and we were talking about John 11 as well in the service, and part of the way Jesus was handling that was he was doing the things which the Father gave him to do, which was, if he'd been about doing it his own way, then we don't know what it would have looked like. But I can imagine if it was myself in that position, what my own way would have looked like. And, you know, I want to, you know, impress all the people around with how loving I was. And the only thing Jesus cared about was that the people got to see the Father. That was his charge. And that, you know, the Father was about showing himself to be able to call a four-day dead corpse out of a grave. And anything short of that, Jesus would have not been showing the Father.
Correct.
So if you had been here, oh Lord, if you'd only been here. Yeah, well, if I'd have been there early instead of dawdling for the 2 or 3 days I dawdled, then all you would have seen me do is heal the sick, and you've seen me do that before.
Yeah. And it really wouldn't really prove the point, because he was trying to he was trying to do a lot of things and accomplish a lot of things in that, and they were all accomplished by him simply waiting. Contrary to what would have been a normal person, quote-unquote's, agenda or perspective, he did that which seemed completely wrong, but yet it was exactly what the Lord would have him do.
And we would perhaps been fearful of being accused of not loving.
Yeah.
So, got to be able to stand.
Well, back into this scripture, let me tell you where I remember when the Lord showed me this, and as I'm, you know, praying and going through things, and as I was this morning, I could see where I'd sort of lost track of exactly what the Lord was showing me, so I commit to get back to it. You know, if we come to the table with the assumption that we are wrong, that we're the one at fault, that we're the one that is in error, and then if it not be the case, we trust the Lord to fix it, adjust it, correct it, whatnot, that is akin to always coming and sitting in the lowest room. And how many times are we confronted with something or we're shown something, and the first thing we want to do is justify ourselves? We want to defend ourselves. We want to show how we're right and the other person's wrong. You know, that is our default place, is to be in that high space of being right rather than in the low space of being wrong. See, if we acknowledge and accept that we are wrong, if we come into the circumstance or situation that we are the ones that are deficient, and allow the Lord to then correct and adjust as he sees fit, then we're really living out, I think, the essence of what this scripture is trying to tell us. it's very easy to lose track of that. But if you are in that place and your eyes are focused on the Lord as that thing that moves, adjusts, corrects, then how can you go wrong?
You need to. Yeah. It presumes you find that you've chosen to like being adjusted and corrected by the Lord. That doesn't come natural either.
You know, I gotta, Rick. I mean, you said you're talking about sharing some instances in my life, and you know, there's actually one this past week. Where I went to go about handling an issue at work with somebody, and I went to go handle the issue, and everything. Now, I made the choice to handle the issue because I knew it was an issue and it had to be resolved. But, you know, I thought of many ways to go about handling those things. But by the grace of the Lord, I mean, the Lord had sent a direction here, a direction there, a direction there, that whole time when I went to go handle that situation, that helped me get passed through that situation, not only for the benefit of the team, but also for the benefit of the person that was having the issue to go forward and what we had to do. And then there was fruit among that. But if I didn't take that which the Lord had given me and going about and humbling myself and taking that direction which the Lord had given me, to go handle that situation, it wouldn't have turned out the way it did. Right. It wouldn't have been fruitful or profitable at all for anybody. But because I did, it worked out. Now, not saying I do that all the time, by no means. There's been many times where I have not taken that direction from the Lord, and it has turned out to be ugly. Praise the Lord that His grace was sufficient, and still His redemption was there at hand when I turned and repented. Do you know what I'm saying? But that's just that's where we need to be when we're confronted with where we're at. We're actually letting the Lord do that work in our heart so that we can be free in Him. But if we resist that which the Lord has given us, then we're fooling ourselves that we're even going forward in Him at all. If that makes any sense.
I tell you what comes to mind when you're talking about that, Phil, in any of this. You know, if the Lord loves us, He's not going to let us get away with it. You know, it says over in, is it Hebrews, where it says He chastens those who He loves? Do I have that right? I believe it is. That He scourges every son whom He receiveth. Little help here. Little help. Yes, here it is. Hebrews 12. For the Lord loveth who... The Lord loveth... Excuse me. Let me back up. Ha ha. Verse 4. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. So the fact that the Lord doesn't let us get away with it shows us that He is involved in bringing that correction. How we deal with that correction is going to really be determine how long the chasing is going to last. I know, Phil, that as the Lord's been trying to work with you at work, and there's been many, many times you thought that leaving that job and going to something else would be a solution to your problem. However, if the Lord's trying to teach you something and it's a problem that you have, no matter where you go, you're going to have to learn it still because He's trying to work with you on it. And if we come to the table when that correction is brought and say, you know what, let me assume, rather than assume that I am right and this person talking to me is wrong, let me assume that I am wrong, that God is good, and that this being brought to my attention isn't simply just to humiliate me for this man's pleasure or this lady's pleasure, but rather for the destruction of the flesh and for the goodness and propagation of the gospel of God. Therefore, this is a good thing and I will receive it. But to be in that perspective, you have to first believe that God is good. More good than we are. And I think that oftentimes when we get indignant and we get upset about correction, it's because we are often thinking that we are good and are thinking that God is not good and God is unrighteous for even considering such a thing that we are not good. And that's what this passage, that's what speaks to me in this passage, is that in our lives, how often are we esteeming ourselves more highly than we ought to think? And rather not, we should be receptive of the fact that we are not all that we think we are. Anyone? Paul, Phil, James?
Amen. And, you know, I mean, you're talking about the same issues. I know, and I remember talking about it Thursday night some, is where the Lord is actually using Gerald's Tires and Brakes for me to pass through to be more free in Him and more effective in Him. And the things that I struggle with is in situations of struggles with in times past and time to come, the Lord is using that to actually purge me from those things that I may become more free in Him. If that makes any sense. And the correction that I received this past week was one of, I praised the Lord because I wanted to make a choice to deal with the situation that was not profitable for the shop. And you know, His provision was one of, if I would have did it about my own way or my own thoughts, because I made the choice to go forward, it wouldn't have worked out. But He brought in peoples to share the information with me that I needed to go operate how He would have me operate in that situation, if that makes sense. And I praise the Lord for that. If that's another thing that I'm learning, is to go to Him and receive that which He has for me to go operate in. And it came from all different kinds of people. It came from the general manager at work, one of the other managers there at Gerald's Tires and Brakes, with Steve and some of the things that he has given me. And it all worked. I used all those things to go and operate, and it was, you know, praise the Lord, everything worked out for the benefit of everybody, you know. So,
well, if
I didn't humble myself and receive that, and when it did it my own way, it would have been a disaster.
Yeah,
it'd have been an absolute disaster, you know.
If the Lord loves us, He's going to bring things to the table, or He's going to bring correction. And if we love the Lord, we're going to receive it. If we don't love the Lord, we're going to justify what we're doing and then look and see, wonder why things are going the way they are.
When we did not take the counsel of that which He has given us. Which is, if it doesn't work out, that's a praise the Lord, because that's Him loving
us. Testifying that He is true.
Right. And Him still dealing with us and still working with us. Because if it was rewarded about going away without taking His counsel.
Without receiving it.
Without taking His counsel and going about and doing that which the counsel was giving you to do, and it worked out, that would be not good. That wouldn't be loving you, because you're not doing it His way. And His way is the only way.
In the sense that you can do it on your own. Do you know? And without Him, we can do nothing.
Amen. Amen.
But you know, we started this Sorry, go ahead, Phil. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
That's right. Well, I mean, you know, I came from that because when I came with that situation, I wanted to deal with it, and I wanted to deal with it rightly. I just didn't have a clue how to deal with it rightly. And so my ideas, I thought of ideas, and, you know, I bounced them off people, and especially my bosses who I need to do as they would have me do in this situation. And, you know, I mean, when they gave me the advice and everything, I'm like, that is great. And, you know, I just knew it was of the Lord. I was like, praise God. That is absolutely, that's much better than what I was thinking. Praise God. You know what I'm saying? But praise the Lord. I mean, when we make that choice to serve Him and it's all about Him and we really make that choice, we're going to take that counsel. And if it's all the litmus test, if it's all about us, we're going to do what we want to do with it.
Yeah, we're going to reject it.
You know, and that's just the truth.
Let's jump over to another scripture here. We were talking about it here recently on Friday night. Because we started today talking about asking. There's a lot of scriptures that talk about asking. I think, Paul, if we went back, we actually originally started, I'd come back on the Hour of Truth for a while there, talking about prayer, which is essentially what? The asking. You know, yes. it's beseeching the Lord, you know. Obviously, this is a key component of our Christian walk, something that, you know, we're commanded to do it. Let's see. The other night we were reading in Matthew, this was on a Friday night study. We were looking to, let's see, verse 7. And it says, it's Matthew 7:7, it says, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. It goes on to talk about the contrast between God's nature and our nature. You know, if we who are evil will give good things to our children, how much more is God wanting to give good things to His children? So we have a Heavenly Father that wants us to know Him. I mean, He's kept His word pure. He sent His Son. He's given us a line of authority. I mean, He has put things in place that He wants us to know Him. Now, on the other side of it, we have to be willing to receive it. If we jump from here and go over to James, I mean, there's a scripture that's saying if you ask, He'll give it. If we go over to James, let's see, chapter 1, and we'll skip the first part and just go to verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all men liberally. Here's a second witness. Amen? Actually, it's a third witness because it's doubled up over there in Matthew. So we have a third witness here. If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. I was having a conversation with somebody recently, and they were struggling with how to do a thing. And they asked, how does this work? A potential resolution was provided, and then they wanted to argue about the answer. You see, if you ask the Lord for something, and then you want to stand in judgment of that thing that He's provided as the answer, then you're setting yourself to sit up in the high place again.
Absolutely.
Amen, Rick. Amen. And I was going to say something. Oh, yeah. But that's where we ask of God and He'll give it to all men liberally. That can come in if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And it shall be given him. And you know, that wisdom, because I asked him, Lord, how do I handle this? How do I deal with this? I don't know. And the answer didn't come like directly from, you know, and enter into my mind. No, the Lord used other people to give me that which I needed for the solution to that issue. And it was up to me to receive it at that point. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, I mean, I'm there. I mean, I don't know how many times I've gone to my dad and asked a question. Usually it's something I probably already know the answer to. I'm just hoping and praying to God he's got a different answer than I got, which is not often the case. It's usually just simply a confirmation of what I already knew. And, you know, at that point I have a choice. I can argue with it, which has always been counterproductive, or I could simply submit to the Lord. And if when you, the thing is that if we go back to the place that God is good and he died for us and he loves us, if he sent his only son, why would he then hold back this other stuff? That's one of Paul's favorite scriptures over in Romans. And we can go specifically and read it accurately if we need to. But the character and nature of God is perfect.
Amen.
It's
Amen.
Perfect.
And that wisdom, I mean, we read this a lot of times. I don't know about you, but in my thinking sometimes, I'm thinking this wisdom comes, you know, hey, directly just upon me, upon my own head. No, this wisdom can come from anybody.
Well, if you go back and you look at the way God dealt with things, if you go into the Old Testament, if the king needed an answer, let's say he did pray, who brought the answer?
The prophet.
Right. I mean, the Lord has always had interaction with his people through other people.
Right.
You know, there are instances, well, obviously the Lord interacts directly, but the vast majority, his interaction with his people was through other people.
Amen. And because that requires humility on our part.
Humility on our part, faith on our part, all of that is about trusting and faithing and faithing. Trusting and believing and having faith. There we go. We're making up words on the fly again. Trusting and believing and having faith in God and the goodness and nature and character of God. And it's so contrary from ourselves because that's not my nature. My carnal man nature. My spirit loves God. All right? The spirit part of me loves God, wants to do his will. My carnal man hates God, doesn't want to do his will, never can be, can never want, it's never going to want to do it. But I have sit in the middle betwixt two, and I choose to prefer that of the Spirit. Because I choose to believe that his nature is only for my best interest, and therefore, even these things that I'm hearing that I may not want to hear, it's for my good. And we, you know, pride's going to manifest itself in different ways. Some people may have a problem with pride because they don't want to ask. Because if they ask, it means they're deficient or they need help or they can't do it themselves. Well, goodness, yeah, you are deficient. Yes, you can't do it without help. You know, if we could do it without help, then the sacrifice of Christ was of no use. I mean, God, it's not him grading on a curve. We all fail.
Absolutely.
Period. I mean, we're all deficient. All have come short of the glory. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous. No, not one. I mean, you know, our righteousness, the best we have to offer is as filthy rags, i.e. a menstruous cloth. That's pretty nasty.
There was a time when it was a great comfort reading, you know, these promises of God. These were, now, they're a truth that testifies against how I am. I don't ask in faith all the time. I don't receive abundantly as he gives all men liberally. It's interesting in that verse because I tend to read the verse wrong. James 1:5. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let them ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally. I have been reading it. If any of you lack wisdom, let them ask of God, that giveth that to all men liberally. That's a phrase in the middle of that sentence that just says, God giveth liberally. It has nothing to do with wisdom. He picks up on the wisdom again later. This is not isolated to wisdom. God giveth liberally.
Yeah.
And the first
part, that's a great point, Paul. That's a really good point, which is sort of back, and I'm interrupting you, Phil. I want you to get back to your point, so don't lose it. Jot it down, write it down, make a mental note.
Yes, sir.
you get back to that thing over before. If you ask, he'll give it. If you seek, you'll find. If you knock, it'll be open. This is a God who loves us enough. He died for us because he wants us to know him.
Yes. And that's the only way we will get to know him.
Yeah.
And the first part, I mean, just like you were just saying, that first part, and where he says, and that first part, if any lack wisdom, let him ask of God. That's the first requirement. Humbling himself and let him ask of God. And the end of that verse, it says, shall be given. Not should, yep. Shall give. You know? But that's that first part, is humbling ourselves and asking of the Lord.
Yeah.
That was it.
So, whatever the struggle you have, I mean, we've got a few minutes left here, but we all have struggles with pride. Like I said, you know, maybe you don't want to ask for help, or, you know, maybe you don't want to hear correction from a particular person, but that seems to be the one the Lord's bringing you all the time. Well, there's a reason, because he's trying to break the pride. Maybe, you know, every time you go to do a thing, it's breaking and falling down and you can't understand why. Well, maybe the Lord's trying to get your attention. You know, we all have different ways that pride manifests in our heart. And that thing, that is the thing that God is working hard to get out of us. We talked Friday night about narrow is the way. And that narrow means it's a press. It's a physical action upon us. I liken it a little bit like to a garlic in a garlic press. I mean, you know, when you squeeze it, only the stuff you want to use in your meal comes out the other end. You know, the junk you don't want stays in the press, hopefully. And that's what's happening with us, is the Lord is pressing and he's squeezing out that which is good to separate it from that which is evil.
Amen, Rick. And that's where, you know, where I was talking about Gerald, my job, that is my situation where the Lord is using to press me, that evil off in the garbage to get shed off, is using that situation to do that. And all of us have our own situations. That's just mine.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, James has his, you know, you have yours. Paul has his. You know what I mean? He uses the situation so that we can become more free in him. How good is he in that?
Right.
That's a good thing, so that we can be not just profitable, for more profitable for him and his kingdom, but also that we be free of that garbage that keeps us back from knowing him.
And he's
because
working
that's
with...
what we need to... That's the ultimate goal is to know him.
Right, and he's working with each of us. He's working with each of us right where we are.
Exactly.
You know, Gail, I see Gail's got a bunch of stuff in here. Gail's, you know, cooped up in a fifth wheel, and the Lord's working with her there. You know, I'm out here in Arizona. The Lord's working with her, with me here. You know, I have a different set of circumstances in my life that he is using to press the pride, to press me away from the pride, in a sense. I mean, just to separate me from it. Now, you know, he's working with Gail. He's working with Scott. He's working with Brad. He's working with Lisa. He's working with Paul. He's working with you. He's working with Jane. He's James, and he's doing this stuff. And the hope is that in the end, you know, we are truly separated from that carnal man, and and it is under subjection.
You know, Rick, and he brings it to the table, and we have to let go. We have to humble ourselves, because
yep.
If we hold on to it, we're never going to grow. You know, he brings it out where we can see we need to, and then we need to make that decision to, do I love you, Lord? Do I trust you, Lord?
Yeah. And that's the receiving part here, James.
It's up to us, James, here.
Yeah.
It's up to us to receive
Thank
that.
Thank you.
It's up to us to receive that. I mean, it says, you know, let patience have her perfect work. Are you going to let him do that work? You know, are you going to let him purge you of those things that of unbelief and pride that is not profitable for you or for anybody else or for his kingdom? Are we going to let him do that? That's up to us. He can put us through all the circumstances and all the situations that we need so that we can be purged of those things, but it's us to... up to us
we to have
actually
our free will
to receive that, you know.
Do we love him or do we love our lives?
Yeah. If we back up and read the, you know, because you're making reference to it, so we jump backwards a little bit here. My little girl doesn't know how to say rewind. She says she fast backwards. I don't know where she gets that, but okay. Anyway, if we fast backwards a couple verses here.
Well, it's because if you're going forward fast, you're going fast forward. So
yeah,
it makes sense.
So she's fast backwards. I get the logic. We just call it rewind, you know, here, but for her it's fast backwards. Anyway, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. I mean, I don't know about you, but any time I've fallen into a pile of crap, it hasn't been necessarily pleasant. It's not something I get up and say, wow, that was fun.
Not at all.
although some people would say I must think it's fun because I do it so often. But it's just count all joy when you fall into diverse. Falling is not a fun thing. But if you understand the character and nature of God, the reason you fail is because He loves you and He doesn't want you to stay on that course. He wants to have you to have a course correction.
Amen.
He's trying to get your attention. He's allowing you to have that. He's allowing you to fall flat on your face so that you can see you're going the wrong way.
And by the way, I need y'all to forgive me, but apparently I've been informed a lot in several IMs that my mute button does not work. So.
If you're muting on Skype itself, it won't work. You have to physically hard mute the mic, Paul.
Wow.
Yeah. That's the way that the Sam, a little side here. That's the way, we'll do the little technical support right in the middle of the show. That's the way Sam and the encoders work. I learned that also the hard way. So just for what it's worth department, if you're
so
on a mic,
I'm hosting the call.
When you're hosting the call, if
the
you mute
button doesn't work.
The mute button on Skype, we don't hear you, but they hear everything. So
sweet. That's wonderful.
I can't wait to hear the recording. I'm
working on that. That's a bummer.
Paulie might have said.
So speaking of humiliating.
Yes, that's going to be fun.
Yes, it will.
Anyway. But there's a point to it. Knowing this, the trying of our faith worketh patience. And then the verse you mentioned, I think it was Phil. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. He doesn't want us lacking anything. And the way we get through that is to learn to take our faith out of those things that fail us and put our faith into Him, who is perfect and trustworthy and righteous.
Amen.
So, anything else? That's quiet.
Oh, me.
You still over there figuring out what exactly you might have said?
But I was having gastrointestinal distress that required Tums, so I ate some Tums, and what that happens when you do that is all that gastrointestinal pressure gets released.
That's a nice way of putting stuff we probably are thankful we didn't hear, at least on Skype. So
correct.
Well, actually, I go and listen to the recording. I think gas is quite
for hilarious. Entertainment purposes.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, well.
Oh, sweet.
Well, it's a wonderful example of oops. So.
Well, he's, the thing that impresses me out of this going through, especially having started back however long ago it was in Romans 8, when, you know, there's some great promises in Romans 8, and as I went through Romans 8 the last time, it was at a testimony against how I am, a truth testimony against me, because I found myself operating outside of those promises like I really didn't believe them. And these are great promises, and they humble me and make me want to avail myself of them wholly and fully, and not just stand accused of being a dirtbag, which I am.
Amen. And you know, the thing is you know, it's easy for us to look at others and say, well, you know, take Steve or you, Rick, and say, well, that works for them, you know, they're of the Lord, and you know, that this is his provision is for anybody that will hear it, anybody that will receive it. You know, it's for everybody if they will just receive it and humble ourselves and receive it. And you know, I mean, you know, just this past week just showed me, and I went in awe of how things worked out, because I don't have a clue what I'm doing. But you know what? He does. He does. And if he'll work that out for me, he'll work that out for anybody. Anybody.
Amen.
The Lord's not a respecter of persons, is what James just said.
Well, it says here he giveth to everybody but Phil.
No, it says all men.
I mean, this is part of those things that we either believe it or we don't. You know, I mean, and your acceptance of the truth of this scripture is going to be demonstrated by what you do with it.
You know, as Phil said, it's easy.
It's going to be evident whether or not you really believe this to be true or not.
Rick, as Phil said, it's easy to look at Steve or you or other people and say, well, that works for them. The reason it works for them is they've received it.
Yeah.
And if it's not working for you, it's because you haven't received it.
Amen. That's probably a good place to end it right there, guys.
Amen. They're abusing me in the chat room kind of heavily. It's funny.
The 40D day. I like that, man. That's awesome.
He used to work in the suit.
On the air. I'll be fart brother number two with you, Paul. I like passing gas. I could find it quite a lot.
Guys, come on. We end it on a good note. I mean,
please.
It is now long gone.
Yes, way past time.
Warp speed in the wrong direction.
I apologize.
I hope you guys got something out of that.
Fast back.
Yeah, fast backwards.
Fast backwards.
Oh. Sue says this goes up as is, no editing. Thanks, Sue. Appreciate that.
Just looking out for you, brother.
Yep.
Are we done?
We're going to be done here quick. I'm done as soon as I get out. Y'all have a great week, and thank you guys for joining me. And we'll see you next time, Lord willing, on the Hour of Truth.